The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
God's been putting, the Holy Spirit on my heart and just about living and walking in the Holy Spirit. And I think he was just telling me, if you're going to talk to these people about living your life truly by the Holy Spirit and not by your own works and your own thoughts and things like that, then I'm going to make sure you're not talking about something you want. So he waited until the absolute last minute to kind of give me just some thoughts. So anyway, that's kind of my buffer into saying I've prayed to Jesus and I'm just kind of sharing some thoughts tonight that he's been putting into my heart, just kind of with how things have been in the country lately, in America, and things that are, and in the church too, things that are happening. And so these are kind of just what God's been speaking to me. And so, like I said, I've really just had the Holy Spirit on my heart and what the Holy Spirit truly is. We've all, ever since, if you've gone to Sunday school, you've always known the Trinity and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's like one of those things that you could just recite without even thinking. But it's also something that I wonder, how often do we truly see now, in our day and age, is when people are acting in the Holy Spirit, and when the God is working through the Holy Spirit through people's actions and words and stuff like that. We see it in the Bible all the time, but how often do we see it in the world now? And it's just been, I've just been thinking that, for me personally, am I acting in the Holy Spirit? Am I listening to God? And is everything I do in my life because of the Holy Spirit? Even it's gotten down to things like going to work. Am I working because I need to make money? Or am I working because God has placed me at this job at this time and I'm following his will for my life? I don't know why. It's just been on my heart. I want to be doing God's will, but is every action and every thought led by God? And so if you guys have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2. And this is a chapter that we've all read tons of times. Acts is one of my favorite books in the Bible. But when we read this, I challenge you to try to look at it, really listen what these words are saying, kind of like you've heard it for the first time. If you know the verses, don't just be reciting them in your head because you know it. Try to really read these words and picture what they're describing here in this chapter. So I'm going to read verses 1-8. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And with this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each one in our own language in which we were born?'" Until YWAM, I never, like I said, I knew the Holy Spirit and that whole idea, but I never truly used the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if that makes sense. I had heard of things. I had actually been to a tent revival when I was younger, for healing. And anyway, I thought it was the weirdest thing in my life, and it creeped me out. And I swore on my life that I would never go to one again, ever. And you hear all this stuff, especially with the tent revivals, people who are faking it and people who are feigning and stuff, but they're really not. The people had talked to them beforehand. And that's just kind of the idea I had in my mind. I mean, I would read stuff like this, and it's not that I didn't believe the Holy Spirit acted like that, but I thought that was a Bible Holy Spirit, one that just was back then and not now. You don't walk down the street and see, someone getting prayed for and then just getting slain in the spirit, on the side of the road. You know what I mean? So I just never really saw it. And so I knew, obviously I knew, like I said, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but I just thought those were kind of three things that go together. And really, you know God and you know Jesus and the Holy Spirit's just kind of there. Like, it's just like Jesus's sidekick or something. And so that's kind of how I grew up. I know that sounds weird, but it totally is. But it wasn't until YWAM, I think all of you know, that I went a couple years ago. And At first I was kind of weirded out because you do. You're like just walking, you know, to class or whatever, and you see someone like, hey, you know, they have like their arm in a sling. And then you see this group of people stop and pray for them, and then the sling's gone and their arm's totally fine. And, you know, the first time I'm like, all right, it wasn't hurt that bad. Like, whatever. They're just playing it. But it's seriously like that's the norm there. You know, on our weekends off, you go downtown. There's like a main street kind of thing right by the ocean. And that's what people do is you'll just be walking and you're going to lunch. And then you see this random stranger and they're like on crutches. And you're like, hey, can I pray for you? And, you know, you see these people getting healed. And that's when it first entered into my mind, like the Holy Spirit is active. And it's something that is as real today as it was back in these times with the disciples. And so that's kind of when this whole thought just started in my head. Like, do I know the Holy Spirit? Have I acted in the Holy Spirit? Like, how is that displayed in my life? And as I started, you know, learning more about it and diving into stuff like this and into Acts and just really asking God, like, to display to me about the Holy Spirit, I realized that most of my life I've heard the Holy Spirit described like a dove and like, you know, like a gentle thing that like lands on your shoulder. And it's like when you're saved, it's just something peaceful and nice. But I don't really know where that came from. I mean, I know there are times the Holy Spirit can show itself like that, but the Holy Spirit is powerful and it's mighty and intense. And when we're reading this, it says, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Like, if you think of how many people were there, and think if it was like this church, and this sound comes, like something you've never heard before, this rushing wind, and it fills the entire house, the entire church, that's not a gentle thing. That's not something that's going to put you to sleep at night, right? And so I think a lot of times we're downplaying the Holy Spirit as just like a little thing that you kind of get when you're a Christian, and not the power of it. All of the power is being lost. In YWAM, in our, it's called the outreach, but the second part of the trip that I was on, we were going to different colleges, and they would have like a sermon and then worship and all of that, and we just get to like prophesy over people and minister to them, and it was great. But every time, of course, before we started, we would pray just like normal. And there was this one time we were at this school. Honestly, I don't even remember where it was, on the East Coast somewhere. And it was like a weird building. It was like really skinny, but there was like five floors on it. And so anyway, we were trying to set up, you know, so we could do worship and speak and all that. And then we were just, you know, it was a while before the college kids were coming, and we're like, we just need to pray. And it just started out like normal, you know, praying like, God, what do you want us to be speaking about tonight? Like, what are the main things we need to talk to these students about? And there was probably, I don't know, maybe 25 of us on staff. And we were all in just this big circle. And we were just praying, and we just were asking the Holy Spirit, like, fill this place tonight. Just come through this teaching and through worship and all of that. And all of a sudden, like, I can't even explain it to you guys, the intensity of it, but the Holy Spirit came. It was, like, exactly what we were praying for. And just like this said, you know, that everybody together in this room, in this upper room, we're all with one accord. And that's kind of how we were. We were just all in one heart praying for Jesus, like, however that looks, just come into this room. And it, like, all of a sudden, it was the most heavy feeling I've ever felt. People, like, immediately just dropped to the ground, half of the people. I mean, it looked like they got, like, punched in the face, immediately down. And, like, we were just on our faces. I was, like, sobbing, crying. Like, I've never cried like that in my life. And other people, there was people screaming, like, I mean, screaming full out, one of our speakers. Other ones, you know, were just like standing there and just like, you can't even take it. And if you were someone who didn't know Jesus and you walked into that room, you would be terrified. Like, I mean, it was weird. It's weird explaining that, but it was just insane. And then we started to get visions like no other. And not only would we get visions, but one of us would get one, and then someone else would get like the end of that vision, and it'd be finishing another part of it. And then someone at the end of that vision, a whole other person would be getting something else. And like, you know, I was seeing things like futuristic things, and it was the most insane thing of my life. And it's something I will never forget. But it was like at that moment, I knew like, no one can ever tell me that the Holy Spirit is something that is weak and that can't, you know, can't do these big things and whatever. Like, it was the most insane thing I've ever experienced. And we were there for probably, I don't know, an hour and a half just in this state. And like, we'd feel kind of like it lift. And so we're kind of like standing up, worshiping or whatever. And then it just hit us again, everybody at the same time. It's just, again, you're all on your knees. I was like literally laid out completely flat and just felt like I was at like the bottom of God's throne, like laying down in front of him. And it's like, can I get any lower right now? Because I do not deserve this. And it was just the coolest thing. And so it just made me realize like, but why is that the only time I've ever experienced that in my life? And why is it that before this, I would have honestly told you that was like impossible and that would never happen, you know? And so that's kind of where this whole thing is coming together. Like, why do we not see that as often in America anymore? And, you know, I truly do believe there are times, you know, specific times that God's going to, the Holy Spirit's going to intercede like that and all of that. I know that. But together as a whole, like, why is the Holy Spirit not active, at least in America right now? I read this quote by D.L. Moody, and they said, "You might as well try to hear without ears or breathe without lungs as try to live a Christian life without the Spirit of God in your heart." And that's such truth, but yet, how many of us do live our Christian life without the Holy Spirit in our life? And it's like, to me, you know, before I experienced all of this, you know, and just really like realizing the gifts of the Holy Spirit and things like that. It's like, I had this power inside of me and I never used it. And why is that? Why in the church today? Because you think back to this and in Acts, and they're like all going out and they're sharing the gospel. And of course, because it's like, look what just happened to us. We don't even know what's going on, but we're just going to share this. And we're going to tell you about Jesus and this guy who had came and he died and then he rose again and he was alive. And it's like this excitement. But now we all know the Holy Spirit. You can't use that excuse, well, I didn't know about it. Everything you need to know about the Holy Spirit is in the Bible. And you know, part of me, I was going to talk about, like, what exactly is the Holy Spirit, blah, blah, blah. But it's like every person in here knows what the Holy Spirit is. We've learned about it, most of us, our whole life. But we just don't use the gifts that are given to us. And I just think, like, is God waiting to hear from us? Because, you know, I had this thought, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. And it was like God and the Holy Spirit are, like, sitting there. And God's asking the Holy Spirit, like, hey, what awesome thing is Shelby asking me to do? Like, what miracle, what crazy thing is she praying for so that I can come and I can show her my love and I can show her my power? And the Holy Spirit's like, dude, she hasn't asked for anything in, like, forever. And, you know, it's funny, but it's like, seriously, how many of us are complaining, you know, because of our finances, or complaining because of something that's hurt, or, you know, all of these different things, but have we even thought, like, has it even entered our mind to pray about it? And in YWAM, that's like a huge thing they do, is if someone's hurt, it's like everybody wants to pray for you, obviously, because you want to see healing. And it's just kind of funny. It's like just a thing with YWAM, but it's like, why does it have to be there? Why is it not everywhere else? Are we just afraid? And I think that is the answer. I know for me personally, I am afraid, because, you know, if it's like with friends or whatever, that's one thing. But if I'm going to go up to a random person on the street who probably doesn't believe in Jesus, and they have no idea who I am, and I'm just walking up, and I'm like, hey, how are you? Cool. Can I pray for your broken arm? Like, it's going to be a little weird. And so, and if I don't know, like, for without a shadow of a doubt that their arm's going to be healed, that's a little intimidating, you know, because what's the person going to say afterwards if it's not? And then I get the thought, like, what if they're not going to come to Jesus because I prayed and told them about Jesus and how he can heal, and then they weren't healed? Like, you know, that's scary. And so I think that over, at least for me, that overtakes me all the time. And that's normally why I don't pray for people. And not just physical healing, you know, but emotional, all these other things. Like I said, finances, stuff like that. And I just don't pray for it because I'm afraid of the outcome. But we have to trust that God is going to meet us halfway. And I think that's the whole point of doing it. Like, God's not, I can't just see someone that's hurt and in my head be like, hey, God, like, will you heal them real quick? And they'll be like, sure. And then they're healed. Like, we have to step out of our comfort zone, and we have to be willing to be like, you know, I'm in an uncomfortable place. You don't know me. I don't know you. I don't know what the outcome of this is going to be, but can I pray for you? So you take classes, you know, the first couple of months, and then the next chunk of it, you go on what they call outreach. And so ours, you know, is on the East Coast. But anyway, they say within like the first 12 hours of outreach, you have to pray for somebody or else you're going to lose the courage to do it and you're not going to do it. That's just kind of a rule they have, which is totally true. And so when we started out in Washington, D.C., and it had been about 11 hours and like 57 minutes, and I hadn't prayed for anybody. And it was Christmas Eve, and we got asked by this church to, they had like a live nativity scene. They had animals and stuff. And anyway, they asked us to, we thought we were just going to like kind of hang out, but actually we were being like Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and all this stuff. So anyway, it was like, that's just what YWAM is. Like, you just get tossed into stuff. So anyway, we're there, and I think I was a shepherd or something. And so we're just walking around. I was talking to one of my friends, and I'm like looking at my watch, and I'm like, it's almost been 12 hours. Like, I don't know. I don't know. There's not anyone for me to pray for. Like, there's no one hurt. I don't think God wants me to pray for anybody. And literally, I'm not kidding you. Someone pulled up in a car right then, and this Muslim man gets out with this, like, big boot on his foot and, like, limping, obviously in pain. And I was just like, gosh, dang it. Like, God, you've got, and I'm not kidding you. Like, that is immediately when I told my friend that. And so I was like, well, I have to pray. Like, I just have to do it. So I walk up to this man, and he was a little weirded out. It's true. You know, we were just kind of making small talk, Merry Christmas, all that. But I was like, you know, I noticed your foot's hurt. Is it okay if I pray for you? And he's like, yeah, that's fine. So, you know, I pray, and I'm like, how does it feel? And he's like, I don't really feel any different. So I pray again. Doesn't feel any different. My friends come, a couple of girls, and all three of us are praying for him, and he's like, it doesn't really feel any different. And so we prayed a few times, you know, like you're supposed to, and he was like, and he was really nice, though, and he was like, thank you, like, I really appreciate it. You know, it's worth a shot. And we're like, okay. And I mean, on the plus side, it's not like he was mad or something, so that's okay, but I just kind of walked away defeated, and I was just like, why do we do this if it's just going to be embarrassing and nothing's going to come out of it? But anyway, I was just like, whatever, it was within the 12 hours, I did it. And it is true, like, once you do it for one person, you feel like you're more brave to do it with someone else. It's just kind of how it works. And so after we did the nativity scene, that's when we went and we were doing this thing called David's Tent. They do worship. They still are there by the White House. They just do worship 24/7. Which is really cool. But anyway, when we were there, we had the night shift. So we worked like 6 hours in the middle of the night just doing worship. But anyway, so that same night, we get to David's tent, and I wasn't doing a set then, so I was just kind of praying. And every once in a while, you get visitors. Like, it's in the middle of the night. Like, we're talking like 3 a.m. So the visitors you get are pretty interesting normally. But this lady came, and she, super sweet lady. And I just felt like God was saying, like, you need to talk to this woman. So I walk up to her, you know, and I was like, we'll try this again. And she wasn't hurt or anything, but so I'm just talking to her. You know, we talked for a long time, and I felt like God kept putting this name in my head, and it was Amelia. And, I mean, we talked for a long time, and I didn't say anything about it because, again, I was just like, God, I don't want to be embarrassed by this. So finally, I'm just like, okay, I got to step out. I guess this is what YWAM's all about. And so I was like, I know this is weird, but does the name Amelia mean anything to you? Like, I was for sure it was like a daughter or something. And she was like, no, I actually don't think I know a single person named Amelia. And I was like, super. That's good. Like, what do you say after that? Like, all right, cool. And so anyway, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, I thought, you know, God gave me that name, but whatever, kind of brushed it off. And we kept talking. And then God gave me a picture a little bit later. And it was of like this big garden and these really pretty pink flowers and like all this stuff. And anyway, I shared it with her and I was like, you know, I just feel like God's giving me this picture and he's just telling you that you are this beautiful flower in this garden and he's like the gardener and blah, blah, blah. It was like this long thing and she's just crying. And it was just like really touched her. And she's like, you know, that is really special. And I was like, well, it's just from Jesus, you know? And so I was explaining this pink flower to her. And she's like, wait a minute, isn't there a flower called an Amelia flower? And I was like, I don't know. So I take out my phone, I Google it, and like, not even kidding, it was literally the same flower I saw in that picture in my head. And it was just, and I showed her, and we were both crying. Like, it was super cool, and it was just like God was telling me, you know, just trust me. Like, it's not going to look how you think, and you know, you have it planned in your head how you want this to look and blah, blah, blah. And it may not be like that, but trust me. He knows that. He knew that woman obviously way better than I knew her. And he knew what she needed to hear. And just because I thought it was a person, it's like, that doesn't matter. I need to share what God is giving me. And so fast forward, I don't know, probably 4 weeks or so. We're getting ready to leave Washington, D.C., and we met with that same church that we did the nativity scene with. We met like with some, they're kind of like pastors there. And so we were just sitting around talking and they were telling us about cool things that have been happening in their church. And they were like, oh, we meant to tell you. There's this Muslim man that lives like across the street from our church. And he came to us like a week ago and he told us that his foot was hurt a few weeks ago, that he was in a boot and everything and he couldn't walk very well and he was in all this pain. And she said, but a week, he said that someone in our church had prayed for him. And then like a week later, all of a sudden it was healed, like immediately. He just didn't even need the boot anymore. And our group just like started crying and because the people didn't even know it was us. They were just telling us about this cool story. And it was like, I pretty much felt like I had to just bow down to Jesus and be like, I am so sorry for putting these expectations because I just knew he wasn't healed. Like I had prayed for him and I was like, I don't know why God doesn't want to heal him, but whatever. But it's like, God told me like, what makes you think if you pray for someone, they have to be healed right then? What gives you that idea? Like I am God and I'm the one who's doing the healing. You're not, you're just transferring that, your prayer to them. You know what I mean? And so it was like, and he was healed completely. They said he didn't, like he went to the doctor. They said he was completely fine. And so this guy was telling, you know, the church, and he started going to church there. It was just this awesome story. And it's like, God let us know that because he knew, probably me specifically, that I needed to hear that. Just to know that, like, I can't put expectations on God. But then I thought, what if I had never heard that? I would have just assumed that he wasn't healed. But, like, we can't assume that. We can't, you know, it's just like when we share the gospel to someone. And, like, when they say, okay, yeah, like, I don't really believe in God, but thanks for sharing it. And we think it was for nothing. We have no idea. Maybe God is going to, like, in a dream that night or 5 years later or whatever, show up to them. But we are just doing our job. That's all God's calling us to do. He's not calling us to actually do the miracle, like, thank goodness, because we'd be in trouble. But he is. And we're just supposed to be, you know, these vessels that God is working through. And so, you know, it's just like God has given us these gifts and he's given us the Holy Spirit. And it's like, are we wasting them? Are we just not even... And not necessarily because we mean to waste them. I don't think it's that. I think we just don't even think about it. I know that's how it is for me. Like, you know, when I got back from YWAM, that was one of the hardest adjustments for me. It still kind of is. Because there you live with hundreds and hundreds of people who love Jesus. And it's like every day you worship together. Every day you learn about Jesus. Every day you pray. and everything you do is centered around Jesus, which is the most amazing thing. But you still have to come back to the real world. And I wish, you know, it was like that here, but it's not. And that's just how it is. It's not. And so it's like, you know, do we have these gifts, but we come back into this world where nobody uses them. And it's weird to pray for people like that. And it's weird to tell someone that you had a vision and that you wanted to share with them or whatever. And it's like, are we holding back what Jesus has given us? And you think back, like back in Acts, and these people were so amazed and so excited about what was happening that they had to share it to everybody and they had to share the gospel. But are we like, we just take it for granted that we know the gospel and that every, you know, most everybody in America has at least heard of Jesus before. You know, there's places like in Nepal and stuff, these tiny little villages that never have heard the word Jesus. They like literally don't know who that is. And that's hard for us to imagine, I think, because that's not how it is in America. But here where we live in our country, it's like we've dismissed the Holy Spirit, you know, from our church services. And I mean, I'm not saying like that nobody wants the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying we have packed church and all that, our life with other things. Like, this is how worship goes. This is how many songs you do. You only sing this many times. You know what I mean? Service, you have to talk for exactly 30 minutes, not any more, not any less. You do one more song, like, and it's just packed, and that's how it is. And it, like, and that can, it can be powerful too. Like, I know worship is still powerful, the message is whatever, but it's like, can we break away from that? And we, can we truly act on the Holy Spirit? And so like, that's what God, even with this whole message, he's like, well, I'm not going to give it to you then. You're going to listen to the Holy Spirit until I give it to you. And it's just like, can we act like that with everything we do? When I'm walking by someone on the street and God says, like, I don't even know, a word or something, can I tell them? And the good thing is, it may seem like something stupid that God gives you. I know a lot of times when I pray, God gives me pictures, just like the Amelia Flower thing. That's just one way that God speaks to me. And at another school we were at with college kids, we were up front and these, you know, if people wanted prayer, they came and there was these girls and I got like the weirdest pictures. Like one was a kite and like some trees and it, like, I mean, it was weird. I was just like, whatever. But so I'm praying over and I was like, I don't know what this means, you know, but God gave me this picture of this kite and I'm just explaining it to her and she is like sobbing, crying. And it's like, that's just something she needed to hear. And I don't know what's happening in her life. And I don't even know why that affected her. Like, that's none of my business. But we don't have to think that it's going to be this like 15-minute vision of heaven and exactly what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, and you know us personally, we are all going through different things. And some small word or picture may mean the world to us. But we have to be those people who are willing to share that, you know? And what if Jesus, like, there's this person who's hurting and Jesus wants to help them, but he's not going to do it. He's waiting for someone to come along. Like, what if there's someone, you know, I've heard there's actually people at YWAM who said like they had kind of wanted to know about Jesus. Like, they were raised in kind of a rough home and stuff like that. And they knew about Jesus, but they were just waiting for someone to really share the gospel with them. And some of them, it wasn't till they were like 25, 30 years old. It's like, how can we live in America and no one shared the gospel with them? And then I think like, well, how many have I shared it with? Like, not a ton. So I'm to blame for that. Like, I just think of the people I've come in contact with and that I was supposed to say something and I didn't. And, you know, I trust God will give someone else that mission. It's not like God loves that person and he's going to bring them to him and to the kingdom. But it's like, if God's passing over me because he knows I'm not going to do it, like, that's my biggest fear, I think. And I just feel like sometimes we see Jesus in this wheelchair. Like, we see Jesus, you know, active in the Bible, and we see God active in the Bible. But now in church, like I said, we don't even think to pray about people. We don't think, you know, everyone's talking about all these problems they're having and in our world and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, are we doing anything about it or are we complaining about it? You know, and I just feel like, you know, it's like Jesus is in a wheelchair. He's wanting to get out and he's wanting to act, but none of us are willing to be those vessels to do that. And I feel like America right now is just on this breaking point. Even as Christians, like, we are so divided now. And I've debated talking about this. I'm not trying to be offensive in any way, but like, looking at only Facebook and things going on with like football and with politics and with Las Vegas and everything that's happening, like, my Christian friends on Facebook, not only are they divided in everything they're saying, but I have seen some of the worst comments and the meanest, most critical things. And I'm not, you know, I don't care what side you're on, but where in the Bible does it tell us to act like that? Where in the Bible is it telling us to be mean to these people because they have a different view than us? Like, do you think we are that high up to be able to tell you that Trump is an awful person or that Trump is the best president ever or whatever? Like, who cares? We are told to respect the president. I know that. That's in the Bible. But how many of us are doing that? And with football, like, I know, and I'm not saying if either side is right. I'm not even going into that. But I'm just telling you, like, on social media and even just to your friends and stuff, are the words that are coming from your mouth from Jesus? Like, are you going to tell that to Jesus in those words? Is that how you're going to say your opinion? And it's like, do you think that's the main thing that we should be worrying about right now? Like, and then you think about all these people and you, I keep having all these friends who are saying, like, these people are so dumb and they just, they believe this stupid stuff and they don't even know God and complain. And it's like, well, what have you said to them about Jesus? And I'm not saying that I'm not to blame. Like, you know, not very long ago, there was someone, I was talking to them and they were telling me how, not going into detail, but part of them was hurting really bad physically and they were having all these problems. And I was just like, I'm so sorry, you know, and I was being sympathetic about it, but not once did I offer to pray for them. And it was like, ever since then, it's been on my, like, in my heart. And it's like, why? Like, God's telling me why. And that's just something that we, you know, we have to step out there. And like I said, the 12-hour thing, we don't have that here. It's like maybe 12 hours from the service. I don't know. But like, we just have to trust, you know, if we get a word or whatever, even if you think it's a word, you're not even positive about it. It's like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Even if they like get mad at you, it's like, are you going to see them again? Probably not. Odds are probably not. But like I said, we can't even think that way because Jesus is going to meet us. And I know it's hard. You know, like I just said, there's so many chances I get that I'm not taking. And I'm like ashamed of that. Because God has given me this power. And like, you know, a lot of us know like gifts that God has given us, or we don't haven't even asked what gifts we have because we don't really care. And then it's like, well, what's the point? Like, you see so many people hurting. And sometimes it's easy to tell. You know what I mean? You see this girl and you can just tell she's in like relationship after relationship and all this stuff. And it's just like, oh, I feel really bad for her. But God put her in your life for a reason. And we're supposed to be doing something. And it's like, what if our country was acting from the Holy Spirit instead? And where would our country be right now? And I know people say, you know, like with the president, it used to be founded on the Bible and it's not anymore. And I know all of that. I'm not oblivious to all of that. But I'm just saying, even if just us believers acted and like went out and were just loving on people, you know what I mean? Like, how would America look? At least I think all of the believers wouldn't be saying these awful things to each other and criticizing each other. And I mean, you guys all know it who are on Facebook. Like, some of them are outrageous. And like, as a person, you would never imagine them saying that. I've seen some of these comments. But it's like, I guess if it's on social media, it's okay. Which is actually funny because more people will see it that way than if you said it out loud. I don't know. It's just something I'm passionate about. Like, are we, every word we are speaking and every action we are doing, is that from Jesus? And that's hard. Like, you know, when I'm driving down the street, it's like, well, how is that supposed to be from Jesus? But it's like, Are my thoughts pure? Are my thoughts what God is putting in my head? Or am I getting so sidetracked on this other stuff that's going on? Like, I just feel like the enemy is like sitting back and like, I don't even need to do anything on America anymore. Like, it's set. Like, it is rolling on straight into destruction and I don't need to do anything to it. How sad is that? And it's like, the worst part is, how many of us are helping push it in that direction? There was, back in 1906, some of you probably know, there was a street revival called Azusa. And there was an African-American man named William Seymour, and he just launched this movement, which, of course, there was segregation and all of that. But he launched this movement that was just based off of Acts 2. And it was just for love and unity and prayer. And it originally had started in Europe, this movement. But anyway, it moved to California. And this is where it happened with William Seymour. And it was just this huge revival that took place in America. And that's what happened. Everybody was praying together. They saw the Holy Spirit act in ways that they had never thought possible, with healings and all kinds of things. And segregation was just like gone at that time. But slowly, as time progressed, it came back. You know what I mean? And that's just kind of how America was. And eventually it kind of stopped. But that's why last year they did what was called Azusa Now. And a few of us from this church went. And it was incredible. But it was in California again. And that's what it was based off of, was just bringing that back in our country. Like, our country has to come and be down on our knees and repent of what is going on before, if our country even has a chance, you know, of Jesus forgiving us. And so it's kind of based off of that. And so if you look in Acts 2, chapter 2 still, but if you flip to verse 40 through 47, it says, so this is after Peter has been speaking, like preaching to all these people, because they were saying, you know, like, people are talking in languages I understand, but they're all from Galilee. How is that possible? And so anyway, Peter's preaching, and then he says in verse 40, or it's talking about Peter, and it says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And you just have to ask yourself, like, is that how our church, and I'm not talking just Wellspring, but like as a whole, believers, is that how our church looks today? Are we all with one accord? And I think it's evident that we're not. People, like, we're so divided on things that, do they really matter? Like I said, I'm not trying to be offensive, but if people stand or kneel during the national anthem, is that going to mean one of them goes to heaven and the other one goes to hell? And I know, like, I know that's stepping out there to say that, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think it does. I think you can love Jesus and you can stand, and you can love Jesus and you can kneel. And like I said, I'm not saying if one of them's right and one of them's wrong. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, like, are we as one accord? Is our purpose as believers to go out and share the gospel? Because we are commanded to do that. To all of the nations, we are to share the gospel. And it's like, are we under one accord doing that? And it's like, I think we need to be. And, you know, and I think, like, well, we're just one church. This is Grand Junction. Like, we're not, we can't control the world. And that's true. But we can control ourselves, and we can control our church. And we can be as one body and come together and pray for each other and go out. Like, and I'll tell you what, if you're going to go out and pray for people and whatever, it's way easier. And you have a lot more confidence if you're with friends and if you're with other people, you know, and it's like, I know, like with Matt, and that's something we're both passionate about, and we've both talked about, like, let's just get a group and go to the mall or go on Main Street or whatever and just pray for people. And that's on me too. Like, I haven't made that happen, and we need to. But we all need to be listening to Jesus and just doing what he's calling us to. After Azusa, now last April it was, they actually just did last weekend what was called Awaken the Dawn. The same people who had done Azusa Now. But anyway, they had actually 58 tents on the National Mall in D.C., so close to the White House. Just like David's tent is there, it was there. But they had a tent for every state in the U.S., and then they had, like, some other tents, too. But they did, same thing, 24/7 worship and prayer and intercession for our country. And just repenting for what's happened in our country and asking for forgiveness and just praying to come together. And it's like they're actually going to do another one next year, but they're going to have it in each state at the Capitol, which I don't really know all the details yet. I think it'd be awesome if people from our church could go, but they're going to have a tent at the Capitol of every state. Just same thing, praying for their state and asking for forgiveness. And it's like, I think, you know, we are headed towards end times. No one knows the exact details where we're at in that timeline, but we're headed that way. And it's like, if America is as it is now, we're in trouble. And, you know, I know it's like our personal relationship with Jesus, and I know that, but it's like, how many people can we help save along the way? And of course, in other countries and all of that, you know, missions and everything, we need to, but what about our neighbors? And what about the people that we speak with at work every day? And what about all these people who read our stuff on Facebook? Like, is it going to be something that will lead them to salvation and that's going to share the gospel? There's one of the founders of, like, The Call. Those are the people who ran Azusa Now and Awaken the Dawn and all that. His name's Lou Engel. He made this speech, and it was just so powerful. And it was just saying, like, America has to get on its knees and ask for repentance. And it's like, what will it take for us to give up everything and buy the field? What's it going to take for us to give up everything we're content with? And that doesn't necessarily literally mean sell everything, and maybe it does, I don't know. But it's like, what's it going to take for us to step out of our comfort zone and fight for these people who don't know Jesus? And so here in a minute, we're just going to do some, you know, have worship, a few more songs. And I am just challenging you to just pray before Jesus. And I'm going to pray and just ask for the Holy Spirit, like, to fill this place like never before. And I challenge you, if you get a word or a picture or anything, like, the church is the best place in the world. Because if I'm going to go to one of you and I'll be like, hey, like, does this mean anything to you? And you're like, not really. You still love me. Like, I don't doubt that. So it's like, we need to feel safe. This is a place where we need to feel safe and feel like we can practice these things that God has given us. We can practice these gifts. So I just pray, like, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And for however long this next little time is, just I pray for you to worship. But I also pray for you to ask God, like, please fill me with the Holy Spirit. Pray for one another. If you have something in pain, or you literally, like, need healing on some part of your body, I pray that you ask somebody for prayer. Or if you know somebody who needs prayer, go up to them. Like, let's practice this. Let's be a church that does, like, this is a regular thing, and I don't want this to be something, and Dave doesn't, and nobody does, wants it to be something that happens just tonight. Like, you know, Dave always encourages after he talks, go pray for somebody, and, you know, all of that. And it's like, let's make this something that's the norm, and let's really just listen. If you have a word for everybody, please come up. They'll let you use one of their microphones and just speak it out. Like, let's, it's not going to be comfortable. I know that. But you also, like, it is one of the biggest adrenaline rushes when you just see the Holy Spirit acting through you. Not because, like, you feel proud, but because you know, like, that you are a vessel that God is able to work through. And it's like, God is obviously the smartest, over everybody, and he knows how it works. He knows all of this. Like, he created all of us to be vessels and to transfer his word. And so anyway, I just challenge you guys that. I really do. And to take it out away from here. And you know, sometimes it's like, we do pray for people. I'm not saying we don't. Sometimes we're praying for people, but just really be open to the Holy Spirit and just be like, God, is there anything specific you want me to tell them? Is there anything specific that I can speak to them? But Jesus, we just pray to you, and we thank you for tonight and for coming together, Jesus, and just that in America, we're allowed to learn about you and we're allowed to teach about you, God, and that we do have freedom of speech and all of these things that so many countries don't have, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that right now the Holy Spirit comes in Jesus' name, God. I pray that the Holy Spirit comes so heavily upon this church. It's like no one has ever felt before, God. And Jesus, I pray that you just put it in all of our hearts that we don't want to sit back anymore. We don't want you to be in a wheelchair because we are the ones who are forcing you to sit in it, God. And I pray that we can all get over our stupid insecurities. And Jesus, we can do what you want us to do. Like, that is why you created us, Jesus. You didn't create us just to live our own little life, just content by ourselves, knowing that only myself is going to heaven, so I'm set. Like, that's not how it works. Once we are saved and once you have interceded in our life, we have to spread the gospel. Like, it just has to come out of us, God. And I pray that Wellspring is a church that is based off of Acts 2, Jesus. I want to be a church that is just like Acts. I want to be a church where we all live together in one accord. On all of our hearts, we want the same thing. No matter what, you know, what our beliefs are about little things, we know that it's all about you, Jesus. And I just pray that we can be a church that lives off of your word and then acts off of it, God. And that we can help one another. We can, for those going through hard times, Jesus, that we can just come beside them and help them. And that we can stand behind one another when we go out and we pray for people. And Jesus, I pray right now for healing. And if there is anybody in this church right now who needs physical healing, I pray that they are healed in Jesus' name, God. That when we pray for them, we can literally feel it. We can feel bones moving. We can feel heat in our hands, God. We feel it, and that we know you are here, Jesus. And God, I pray for America, and I pray that no matter how small we may seem, that you show us that you created us for a purpose, and that when we come together, we are powerful because of you, God. And I pray that we can start, be a part of this new revolution that is happening, just like Azusa, God, when you are going to change this nation, that we are going to be unified as one country, not 50 different states, but one country, Jesus, who loves you and wants to serve you for the rest of our lives, God. And I just thank you for every person here. And I just thank you for what's to come, God. Because we know you're powerful. And we know that there is a purpose for all of us, Jesus. And I just pray that we can be part of this ripple effect that's going to start here, but that's going to affect the rest of the world, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com.